Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
I've got a word today that really helped shape my life in a lot of ways and the way I viewed people and reached out to people. It's just made a big impact in many lives when you hear and understand this story. And in life in general, I think about this as a farmer. What you feed something depends on its growth. I'm not a good farmer, and I have not fed correctly, and things haven't grown correctly. With my fields, if you don't put the right fertilizer and the right lime bill and the right things, you get a lot of weedy plants in your field. So you got to feed your field. I didn't know that. I thought that cows fed it. By whatever they ate and what came out of the other end, that just take care of it. But there's a lot of work to be done to feed it correctly. You know, cows, during the winter months, I don't know if you knew this or not, you don't put weight on a cow during the winter. Am I right, Derek? You just don't. You can't put much weight on a cow during the winter. You need to feed them well the other times, and you've got to get everything you can just to maintain them in the winter. Because then you just take it out of them. So when you miss a day of putting a bale of hay out for them, you're in trouble. Because they aren't going to maintain. You got to know that in all of life, if you don't feed something, it will end up dying. How many green thumbs we got out there for plants in your house? How many say, I wish I was? My mom is not a green thumb. And I say that, she won't get mad at me. She just, that thing needs some water. And before long, it's got to go because it's causing more trouble. See, I got something in my mind a couple years ago that really spoke this message and made it just pop for me. I was in a restaurant in Highlandville feeding. And I saw this sign on the wall. Here's what it said. It said, there's a skinny girl inside of me trying to get out. And I can usually shut her up with some cookies. Oh, okay, you get the whole point of if you feed something, it grows. And so 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Dear friends, here's the deal. Don't be surprised. Dear friends, neighbors, people, dear friends, understand this. Don't be surprised at the fiery trials that you're going through. Don't be surprised at them. Don't be surprised as if something strange were happening to you. Oh, come on, I'm a Christian. I should never have a trouble in my whole life. Don't be surprised at fiery trials as if something strange. Well, that's a real encouraging word. I can tell you that bad things can, have, and will occur in good people's lives. But that's not the end of the story. But I'm just telling you, people get all freaked out when something bad happens, like this shouldn't have happened to me. We live in a fallen world. There are flat tires in life. Things go out, cars won't start. I just put new tires on my Ranger, and I didn't have it a week, and it's flat. I'm like, good grief. I thought it couldn't have been the tire's fault, and it sure wasn't mine. They're brand new. So I took them to the people, and I said, fix this. I just bought it last week. And they came back and said, well, you may have bought it last week, and you may think it was not your fault, but there's a thorn in one of the tires. Well, I guess I'll pay to get it fixed then. See, fiery trials happen, and you got to know that fiery trials, just hearing that term makes you know it's not good. So I ask you today, has anything bad ever happened to you? Difficult times are a part of our life. But praise be to God, we have a deliverer. We have an answer. I love this verse. Psalm 34, 19. The righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time. Each time. A righteous person, one in right standing with God, will face troubles, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time. Many problems, but big God. Many problems, but big God. If you're in a trouble or a trial or a situation right now, I want to give you some encouragement. Big God. There's an answer for you. And we act like sometimes, since we're one of God's, that we're never going to have any troubles. We think that we're exempt, but we're not exempt. We're just deliverable. We can be delivered out of it. I want to talk about some of these for just a second. Flat tires of life. I have had seasons of life where my keys just disappeared every time I turned a corner. I lose my keys. I'd lose my keys, and I'm like, I have no idea where these keys went. I have lost things, and I've misplaced it. I have no idea how I made it to the kids being 18 and not have lost one of them. But I had a wife, and she helped me, and she's tried to help me with my keys. Yeah, something happens. I mean, something goes wrong with your car, and it won't start, and you're stranded. How in the world did this happen? You spill something, or your child does, on your new outfit right before your pictures. Come on. Everybody's had these little things, a little ache, a little pain, a little pimple. That things happen. And it can get worse, I mean, than just those things. I mean, a relationship breakup, a financial crisis, a family member gone astray out in left field, a friendship, a situation at work you're having to deal with that you might lose your job if you don't handle it correctly. There are major crises that I know that we've gone through. A medical situation where you go to the hospital, or even worse, your child does. And you're like, what? What? A bad car accident, a house fire, a permanent injury that affects your life. I just wanted you to know today, to use an illustration out of the Word that we can learn from when those fiery trials happen. Even if it's just a key, or if it's a permanent thing that I don't know how I'm going to get out of this one. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1. Story about David and Jonathan. One day, David asked, is anyone in Saul's family still alive? Anyone to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? Now, David, let's talk about David. David was a man after God's own heart. And God himself said that. He's a man after his heart. And he wanted to honor God. And the way you honor God is by honoring his word. David, during the reign of Saul, had not been in good standing with Saul. But Saul had been king, and Jonathan was the king's son. And David was Jonathan's best friend. Everybody got the story here? So you've got King Saul and Jonathan and David running around being best friends. And Saul, in his kingdom, was frustrated at David and ended up turning against him. But in the process, wasn't ever able to, I don't know if he even tried, but didn't turn Jonathan, his son, against David. Now, Saul turned against David, but Jonathan never did. 1 Samuel 20, the last verse, David, and you don't have to turn there, but David and Jonathan made a vow to each other and their children. There was a vow made. When someone gets mad at someone, usually the kids get mad at that same someone. I've seen it a bunch. The kids take the same frustration as the parents have, or vice versa. But someone gets mad at someone, they call you and they want you mad at them too. Jonathan didn't do that. Jonathan didn't get mad. And so David, knowing that, he said, hey, is there anyone in Saul's lineage that I could bless, that I could do something for, not for Saul's sake, but for Jonathan's. Everybody got the story? So that's that verse kind of exploded. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 2. He summoned a man named Ziba, who had been one of Saul's servants. "Are you Ziba?" the king asked. "Yes, sir, I am," Ziba replied. The king then asked him, "Is anyone still alive from Saul's family? If so, I want to show God's kindness to them." Ziba replied, "Yes, one of Jonathan's sons is still alive. He is crippled in both feet." "Where is he?" the king asked. "In Lodibar," Ziba told him, "at the home of Machir, son of Amiel." So David sent for him and brought him from Machir's home. His name was Mephibosheth. He was Jonathan's son and Saul's grandson. When he came to David, he bowed low to the ground in deep respect. David said, "Greetings, Mephibosheth." Mephibosheth replied, "I'm your servant." "Don't be afraid," David said. "I intend to show kindness to you because of my promise to your father, Jonathan. I will give you all the property that once belonged to your grandfather, Saul, and you will eat here with me at the king's table." Mephibosheth bowed respectfully and exclaimed, "Who is your servant himself that you should show such kindness to a dead dog like me?" Then the king summoned Saul's servant Ziba and said, "I've given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and servants are to farm the land for him to produce food for your master's household. But Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, he's going to eat here at my table." Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Ziba replied, "Yes, my lord the king, I'm your servant and I will do all that you've commanded." And from that time on, Mephibosheth ate regularly at David's table like one of the king's own sons. Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah. From then on, all the members of Ziba's household were Mephibosheth's servants. And Mephibosheth, who was crippled in both feet, lived in Jerusalem and ate regularly at the king's table. As you and I, born again believers in Jesus, we were born in to an inheritance. See, when we got saved, we were born in as a child of God to his inheritance. I mean, to the inheritance he was leaving for us. Now, God never messed up. It was a male and a female that got together. It was no accident. God never said, "Oh no, you weren't supposed to be born, but you are." God never said that about you. There was a plan for your life from the very beginning. Well, how do you know that? Because he said, "I know the plans that I have for you." You know Jeremiah 29, verse 11? "I know the plans I have for you," says the Lord. "They're plans for good. They're not for disaster. They're to give you a future and a hope." But you look at Mephibosheth's life and you think, well, obviously there was a disaster there. He's crippled in both feet, it says. Well, there was an inheritance for him. We got to talk about this. Psalm 1:3, "Those that delight in the law of the Lord," Scripture says, "will prosper in all they do." You got a rightful place for the blessings and the inheritance that God has for you. Joy belongs to you, and joy belongs to me because I'm blessed and you're blessed. As a son of the King of Kings, there should be an inheritance for me, wouldn't you think? See, there should be for you too. As a son or daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, there's an inheritance for you. Here's what I'm sick and tired of: God's people not receiving their inheritance. There's an inheritance for God's people. As we live our life, things happen. Things happen. I get that. When you were 12, when you were 13, you had big plans. And you look back now on your life and you go, this isn't the plan that I had. Well, let's look at Mephibosheth for a second. In 2 Samuel, back a little earlier in chapter 4, verse 4, it says this: "Saul's son Jonathan had a son named Mephibosheth who was crippled as a child." He was 5 years old when the report came from Jezreel that Saul and Jonathan had been killed in battle. Battle's going on. It's a bad deal. It's a bad deal. I mean, they have a horrible thing going on. A battle's going on, and his dad and Jonathan die. Let's keep reading. When the child's nurse heard the news, she picked him up, Mephibosheth, and fled. But as she hurried away, she dropped him, and he became crippled. The battle's going on. Saul and Jonathan get killed. The nurse is like, oh no, picks the child up in her haste to leave, drops him, and he is crippled. Young nurse, not paying attention, was supposed to be watching this boy. I don't know much about her, but something happened and she fell. It had nothing to do with Mephibosheth. It wasn't his fault. He didn't say some horrible thing and all of a sudden he's crippled because of something he did. Immaturity in someone else or inability in someone else or their own problems with not just paying attention. And he gets crippled. And it's a bad deal. Immaturity from someone else, inability from someone else, and they messed up. And someone gets hurt. We read it all the time. An accident in a car from a young driver and someone else in the car gets killed, hurt, crippled, something happens. So he goes and lives in a place called Lodibar. 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 We got to know what Lodibar means because it's a very symbolic story. That can't be left in 2 Samuel. It's got to be taught so that we can get the truth out of it and our lives be changed as they were for Mephibosheth. Lodibar means something that we all have lived in at some point. It means valley of regret or silent sorrow. When you look the word up in the Hebrew, silent sorrow. It was a place where the defeated and the broken down ended up. I have been in certain places across this country that I felt like, this is Lodibar. Everybody here is defeated. They're frustrated. They don't know how to live life. They're just, I don't know what I'm going to do. And everything that's mentioned, they are the victim. We've all been there in our own Lodibar. Mephibosheth, you know, had to ask at some point, why was I dropped? Why didn't this happen to you? Why was it me? And I want you to know, Mephibosheth, his case was not isolated. It happens every day. Many of us here have been dropped, knowing teenagers who were done wrong by an adult. It wasn't their fault. Their mom and dad, what they did to them. She was just at a friend's house and it wasn't her fault and someone took advantage of a situation. And she, parents splitting up when you were still in school and you didn't know who to turn to or where to go. Financial ruin. No one taught you how to handle money and now you're an adult and you don't know how to spend it. You just know how to borrow and not pay back. So many stores. Someone said, come on, it won't hurt you. Just one. Just one. It's not going to hurt you. Just come on, come on. Come on, just one drink. Enjoy the party. And now you're dealing with alcoholism. When did it happen to you is a question that I have for you today. When was it that you were dropped? Dropped when you were young by an aunt, by an uncle, by a nurse, by a dad, by a mom, by a neighbor. Maybe you're now pushing 30 or maybe in your 40s and you've been walked out on, you've been through divorce yourself, you've got parents that are divorced, someone treated you wrong when you were this, and you're just all the time going, my life's just been upside down. It always is upside down. Things start going right for me and then I get dropped again. Why does this have to happen to me? Don't you understand that story is played out time and time and time again in the Christian life? And I've seen it for years. And I've watched God's people live in Lodibar. And they just hang out there. Because this is just the life that God's called. The hurts and the pain get the best of you. And we don't intend to go there, but one day we end up there and we're going, I don't know how to get out. Today, my friend, this message is for you. Or it's for you to encourage someone who you know is living there. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 8. Mephibosheth bowed respectfully and exclaimed, who is your servant that you should show kindness to a dead dog like me? He wasn't looking for a way out. He saw himself as no better than dead. Lodibar starts affecting how you see yourself. It does. You get in that valley, you get in that area of regret. Well, I've messed up so bad, I can never be a good husband. I can't be a good dad. I can't do the right thing. Financially, I've never made it. We've been poor. My parents are poor. My grandparents are poor. It's just, I'm going to always be poor. No one likes me. I'm a loser. A woe is me attitude. I want you to know something. The blessings of God will not come if you're going to maintain seeing yourself that way forever. Well, I can't get healed. You know, when I hear people say that, I can't tell you very many I've ever seen, if I don't even have one, that doesn't believe they can get healed that gets healed. Well, I just don't believe in healing. Well, that'll probably work for you. See, that belief, that'll probably work. I mean, because everything starts with seeing it different. There's got to be a seeing it different. The blessings of God aren't coming as long as you see yourself staying in the valley. We can't look at ourselves this way and get out. Verse 6 is the greatest part of this whole story. Here's what it says. It says, when he came. I like that because it wasn't that he was drug out of there. Mephibosheth came to David. You can be a part of what God has in store for you, but you have to get up and leave. You got to get up and leave. Ziba, go bless this boy. That's what David told Ziba. Go bless this boy. God's saying that for you today. Well, Pastor, you don't understand me. I'm just a dog. I've been abused and I've been living. Yeah, but what I'm telling you is there is a place at the king's table for you and you don't understand it, but that inheritance is yours. And I understand all the bad things that have happened, but you have blessings that are still available to you and you aren't going to see yourself as being able to be blessed until you get up and leave that valley. That valley of regret, you got to get out of here. What I can tell you is that you can leave that valley. You don't have to stay there a day longer because the gospel has came. Has come. The gospel is good news. And there's good news for you today. Jesus, the whole reason for him coming to this earth. The whole reason why we're going to be able to celebrate Christmas here in a few weeks is because he brought some good news for us. Well, I know, Pastor, that's why I'm saved and I get to go to heaven. What I'm telling you is he brought good news for you right here. It says in Scripture very clearly, he brought good news to the poor. What's good news to someone who's poor? Not much. Unless they don't have to be poor anymore. What's good news to someone who's blind? What's good news to someone who lives in Lodibar? To get out and live somewhere different. Good news is the opposite of bad news. And if you're living in the bad news, I want to encourage you, there's some good news available for you today. You can move from Lodi Bar to the King's Table. You don't have to live there anymore. You can go live a blessed life, changed, happy, fulfilled, blessings brought to you because you saw yourself as valuable enough to be someone who had something to offer because of your lineage. My lineage is I'm a child of the King, and there's an inheritance available to me. And I'm just telling you, being consistent, living life like God called you to in a righteous standpoint, God will prosper you. God will prosper you. And if you start getting to the point where you see yourself in a different place of not being the one that everybody has to give to, you finally see yourself as the person who's the giver, I'm telling you, things start happening. Pressed down, shaken together. The Bible talks about making room for more, running over, pouring into your lap. I like the pouring into my lap part. Luke 6 talks specifically about that. Verse 6, Mephibosheth comes. Ziba told him, just as you have been told, the king has sent his servant to you, and you have now chose to come. And you have to live the rest of your life now in a different location. I'm not living in Lodi Bar a day longer. Here's my prayer for you. You won't either. You won't either. You don't have to live in Lodi Bar a day longer. There's no reason. Boy, you just got through Thanksgiving. It was a hectic week. I understand the hectic week part. But don't let that hectic week cause you to start seeing yourself in the valley of regret and frustration or the silent sorrow. You can't tell anybody, but I just can't say anything to anybody, but you have something that's rightfully yours. And I want to encourage you today, it's yours. It's yours. God has given it to you. But many won't come. They won't leave the valley of regret. They won't leave Lodi Bar. And why? Because they're still mad at the nurse. They're still mad at the mom and dad who did you wrong. They're still mad at the neighbor. They're still mad. I'm not saying that they didn't do you wrong. I'm not saying it was horrible. But you don't see Mephibosheth talking about the nurse anymore. He leaves and he gets himself in a different position. See, your dad, your uncle, your situation that someone puts you in, what difference does it make when you're at the king's table? See, when I'm at the king's table, those things become a lot less significant in my life. 2 Samuel 9:13, and Mephibosheth, who was crippled in both feet, lived in Jerusalem, and he ate regularly at the king's table. He ate regularly. Come on, this is a good story. This is a good story. We serve a good God. He ate regularly at the king's table for the rest of his life. I don't want you spending one more day defeated. It's not the place for God's people. You need to live knowing that God has victory for you, that God has a place of restoration for the place that you've been in. You've lived in defeat long enough. Come on, we're tired of this. We don't have to be here a day longer. God has a victory for you. And you just say, well, I've been trying. Just keep saying that and you'll just keep trying. What you're going to say is, and I'm walking into it right now. I have a place at the king's table. Here's another thing that's really cool about the king's table. When you're sitting at the king's table, nobody sees the crippled. When you're sitting at the table, when you're sitting at God's table, nobody sees the area that you saw. Well, you just don't know nobody sees that when you're sitting at the king's table. I want to run to God's people. I want to run to God's house. I want to sit the rest of my life and eat at the king's table. That's why I hang out with people who are kingdom-minded. That's why I spend time with people who think and operate and want to live based on the blessings of God. I know that it's not all there yet, and I know that there are still crippled people, but there are crippled people that I want to have the life that they're living because they're sitting next to the king. It's a different place, and as a Christian, you have an inheritance. Come on, can we get our inheritance? You bet we can, but we got to leave Lodi Bar. Y'all stand with me this morning.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.